Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Afternoon Show. We're live here from the Wave Farm Study Center, and today we will hear from, Rob Gellis is going to be joining us in the second hour. He's talking to David Voorhees, the director of the Jacob Leiser Institute, to discuss the history of Claverick Landing. So we'll hear from him in the second hour. In the first hour, Julia Jorn has her Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment, and she's talking with Leslie Bish, the founder of Heart's Content Apothecary and the lead gardener at the Glens Falls House in Round Top today. So we've got all kinds of new music. It's New Music Friday, and we'll have national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
Turns the blood. Our stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood.
Composer Wang Lu was inspired by her childhood memory of music played in a remote mountain town. And we'll hear her raucous orchestral homage on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Sound Prince and Christina Vansu. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Prairieville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup that the rate of violent crime in Greene County is second only to the rate recorded in New York City. According to recently released statistics from the State Department of Criminal Justice Services, in 2020, Greene County reported 192 violent incidents, defined by the state as murder, robbery, rape, and aggravated assault. In a report issued last month, the department calculated each county's rate per 100,000 residents, and Greene County's rate was the highest among the 57 counties outside of the five boroughs. Erie County ranked second behind Greene in the violent crime rate, followed by Albany and Schenectady counties outside of New York City. Greene County Sheriff Peter Kaminsky attributes the high rate to the presence of the two state prisons in Coxsackie. Kaminsky said, and I quote, "I have received some preliminary information that there were potentially up to 80 assaults reported at the two state correctional facilities in Greene County in 2019. This could account for an inflated violent crime rate, end quote. The total number of violent crimes reported in 2019 was 180, of which 131 were assaults. 80 prison assaults would represent 61% of last year's total. Kaminsky said, and I quote, "I have asked to have DCJS attempt to filter out the exact data. There is the possibility that some of the other violent crimes reported in the index crime data also occurred inside the same correctional facilities and not in the general community," end quote. The two prisons are located in Greene County. In 2020, Greene County recorded no murders, 25 rapes, 2 robberies, and 165 aggravated assaults. The county also had 357 property crimes, including 57 burglaries, 288 larcenies, and 12 motor vehicle thefts. In total, the 549 incidents reported in 2020 were a decrease from the previous year, according to DCJS. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Sam Rowdens is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Development Corporation announced at its meeting September 28th that the sale of the former Katz Warehouse site on Montgomery Street in Hudson's First Ward has been put on hold. HDC signed off on the sale in early September, sending the contract on to the unidentified buyer for final approval. However, the board is still awaiting a response. HDC board member Paul Barrett said, and I quote, "It's the buyer's investors who wanted to see some additional paperwork," end quote. The remainder of the discussion about the sale was held behind closed doors in executive session. Because the sale is pending, the HDC has not identified the buyer nor disclosed the sale price of the property. HDC Board President Robert Rasner said he sees, and I quote, "no reason," end quote, for the buyer not to sign the contract of sale because there has been an agreement on contract language, terms, and conditions. It remains unclear what the buyer intends to do with the land, but Rasner said the buyer has, and I quote, "plans and dreams for a new Hudson neighborhood," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the state has announced the latest round of funding for counties to improve the operability of emergency communications statewide. The state of New York has awarded $472 million to municipalities over 9 rounds since December 2011. The latest round includes funding for Hudson Valley and Catskill counties as follows: Columbia County, $454,700, Dutchess, $558,300, Greene, $488,000, Rockland, $772,800, Ulster County, $540,600, and Westchester County, $681,500. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that the state of New York is violating its own law on home cultivation of medical cannabis. The Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act that passed this spring allows limited home cultivation of medical cannabis as soon as the Office of Cannabis Management issues regulations governing it. The law says that was supposed to happen, and I quote, "no later than 6 months after the effective date," end quote, of the law. But we are now later than 6 months after the effective date of the law, and no one in the state can legally grow their own medical cannabis. The previous governor, Andrew Cuomo, was long opposed to any cannabis legalization, and his administration did not make any of the needed appointments required by law. New Governor Kathy Hochul has been making many appointments to the various boards set to create the cannabis regulations, both for medical and recreational sales. Albany Dr. Mark Oldendorf said he is frustrated that he has patients who should be getting medical cannabis now are not. He said, "at the moment," and I quote, "I had quite a few people who I've turned away because they wanted it specifically for insomnia. That's a big need. And it's not a qualifying condition. So all of those people are headed off to Massachusetts to buy something," end quote. Medical recreational cannabis are legal there, but crossing the state line back into New York with cannabis is still a federal crime. State Department of Health spokesperson Jill Montag says now that the appointments have been made, more regulatory changes will be announced. She said, and I quote, "As the Office of Cannabis Management and Cannabis Control Board have now been fully constituted, they will be overseeing these changes as they occur," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 1st. Temperature range for early this morning is 39 in Red Falls to 46 in Gayhead. Some fog in spots early might slow traffic down a little bit. Today will otherwise be dry and mostly sunny with a high of 66 expected at 3 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall down to 44 near dawn. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 72 around 3 p.m. and have moderate cloud cover. Tomorrow night will be clear and cool with temperatures reaching the low 40s. Saturday will be dry and clear with a high of 72. Saturday night will be in the mid-50s. Sunday, a high of 72 is expected at 2 p.m. Rain will enter the region Sunday afternoon and last through Monday. Pollen levels for today will be high, actually, for ragweed sufferers, according to IBM's Watson computer. And just a note, as people start firing up their furnaces, all the pollen, dust, and pet dander that settled into the vents will now be blasted back into your faces. So if your allergies are bad, fire up the furnace while it's warm and with the windows open, or maybe step outside for a bit while everything clears out. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:17 a.m., then high tide at 11:56 a.m., low tide again at 6:12 p.m., and high tide again at 11:55 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 65 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:25 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:48 a.m. Looking way up, we see a chance for minor magnetic storms today as a partial halo coronal mass ejection glances Earth. Solar wind speed is currently 529 kilometers per second at 11 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 46. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Edward Ruschalski of Syracuse, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hudson's Public Square will be filled with a women's rally Saturday, October 2nd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It comes as the U.S. Supreme Court goes back into session on October 4th. So there are rallies around the country on the Saturday before the first Monday in October when the Supreme Court returns. And this one's sponsored by Indivisible Columbia, New York, Columbia County Democratic Committee, and the Columbia County Women's Alliance. That's at the Public Square in Hudson, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 2nd, between 7th Street and Columbia and Warren Streets in the middle of Hudson, New York. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many others.
Congress, in its wisdom, has prohibited pirate operators, that is, people who operate without licenses, from ever owning a low-power station. On the other hand, that same pirate could own, for example, WCBS-TV in New York City.
And you are listening to the radio, and you heard that the radio propagation is fair at the moment, so I guess we can continue. Right now, the weather is reporting that, well, you can see outside, it's partly cloudy. There's a lot of blue in the skies, but lots of puffy white clouds, too. Weather Underground is reporting that basically, if you're on a mountaintop, either in western Massachusetts or in Greene or Ulster County, it's probably in the 50s. But if you're near to the Hudson River in the valley, it's closer to the 60s or more. 66 near Claverick, one of the local highs. There's 68 in Claremont. 66 in Saugerties. Right now, 60 in Cairo, or Cairo, it's 62. Then you get up on the mountaintop and you're in the 50s. Tannersville's at 60, East Jewett's at 59, Hunter at 59. We got a 55 in Windham. And then out in western Massachusetts, ...57 degrees near Camp Kingsmont. 59 in Stockbridge. And 59 in West Pittsfield, too. Saying hello out there to West Pittsfield. 58 in Great Barrington, saying hello to our friends in western Massachusetts. Tuning in to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, on this first day of October. In just a minute, Julia Jorn will speak with Roundtop's Leslie Bish. Next hour, we'll hear Rob Gellis talk with David Voorhees. And we've got some brand new music for you, too, on the radio here today. WGXC 90.7 FM. Here is brand new music from Helado Negro, out today, La Naranja.
Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm in Round Top, just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I live, to visit with Leslie Bish, the creative gardener behind Glen Falls House here on Winter Clove Road. Glen Falls House is one of the historic resorts here in Round Top, which has been revamped by its new owners, John Pico and Greg Breyer, who acquired it a few years ago and have transformed it into an inclusive hospitality spot for locals and out-of-town visitors alike. Immersed in nature, the compound has an old inn, separate motel-like rooms, a farm-to-table restaurant, a tavern, a fun retro pool, and a little provision store. It's also become the go-to place for DJs and music, art shows, and community workshops. On its property, which is over 40 acres, there are hiking trails and a hidden gem called Icebox Falls, which is a magical waterfall tucked away in the forest. Leslie joined the team in 2020 and has continually transformed this property. There are flowers and plants everywhere you look. She's also built a beautiful fenced-in organic garden and a small greenhouse. Leslie has also launched her own business called Heart's Content Apothecary, which uses a combination of herbs she grows and plants she forages to make her own take on plant medicine, tinctures, serums, and syrups. So to start, how did you end up in the Hudson Valley?
I was living in Brooklyn for about 7 years, and I had developed an intense curiosity for herbal medicine. I took a few apprenticeships and workshops, and I just was fascinated. And so I ended up, long story short, going to Oregon for a 3-month apprenticeship. And I got back to New York City, and the second I landed, I just was so bummed.
Time to leave. The urban jungle.
Exactly. I was thinking about going back to Colorado to go back for a clinical herbalism program.
And that's where you're from,
That's Colorado. Where I'm from originally. And then a friend just forwarded me this application for an apprenticeship program at Churchtown Dairy at a biodynamic medicinal garden. And
Churchtown Dairy is on the other side of the river.
Yeah, in Hudson.
In Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing there?
So I applied for the apprenticeship and got in. Jean David is a master gardener over there. He is incredible. It's about 1.5 acres of garden space and dense garden space. And so I learned how to grow every single herb I could ever think of. We made alchemical sprays, which increased the volatile oils in each plant. So each plant was like even more pungent and intense. You know, the mints were like extra minty. The tulsi was so insane. And I learned how to make hydrosols, and we made different elixirs. And I learned how to do that in previous programs, but it was like all inclusive, like this crazy experience for 9 months. I actually ended up staying on for 2 years there.
What was it like learning about those plants in the Hudson Valley, say, versus Oregon?
So that's the interesting part, is that when I was in Oregon, I was loving it so much in the Pacific Northwest. And I was, you know, meeting all these plants and varieties of plants and having all these experiences. And I was like, oh, this is isolated to the Pacific Northwest. And I don't want to be anywhere but here because I'm learning about all of this here. And then when I moved upstate, I was like, oh, actually, there is a lot of crossover, a ton of crossover. The gardening year is way shorter. The season here is 3 months as opposed to 8 months in Oregon. But
it's a different kind of challenge.
It's a different kind of challenge, exactly. The pace is different.
And from Churchtown Dairy, how did you end up at Glen Falls House?
So I had been here the summer that I moved up here, and John and I met. And we were walking around the grounds, and he was jokingly like, oh, why don't you come be my gardener? And I was like, that's funny. And then I did.
And then you did.
Yeah.
And you have changed this place. First of all, the property was always so beautiful. And once John and Greg took it over and had their vision start to evolve, clean it up, and really be a steward for this property. But you've added an element to create a place, I think, that always meant to be here. So many flowers and plants everywhere. Do you want to talk about what you've done since you've been here in the less than two years?
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. That's very sweet. I appreciate that. When I was first walking the property, when I would come hang out, I never noticed a lacking or a deficit because it's true. It's just naturally so beautiful here. It's just rolling hills and beautiful trees and mountains. But then when I took a closer look at what could be possible here, and, you know, John is extremely visionary, so without his push and his inertia, I think it would have been more of a challenge. But he was like, let's just go for it. And so I came from this huge herb production garden, like, let's just do that here. So we built the hoop house during COVID. It used to be a baseball field, and we took that over with about a half acre of a garden now. They didn't really have like a specific idea. I knew I wanted to bring in flowers, herbs. I knew I wanted to somewhat grow vegetables, which is what I have the least amount of experience with. But I ended up just growing so much that I just flooded out the rest of the beds on the property. And we ended up just honestly going week by week in the spring of 2020, just being like, let's build a bed here, let's build a bed there, shoveling compost into trailers, making tons of loads, pulling huge rocks out of the ground, making stone borders, and just really, really going for it. Because it was COVID and the hotel was closed. And so I had one of the groundskeepers, Joel, John, and myself, and Greg did a couple things too, which was really helpful.
A little hard to imagine, but yes.
Right. He was so good. He actually composted the beds where I had the monster sunflowers, and he put so much compost in those beds that they were 12 feet tall.
Good job, Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
And then how did you start